Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talk today on power through weakness. Yesterday, I gave you the first stanza of a lovely hymn that has been written around that verse, "You are loved with an everlasting love." And the second stanza of that lovely hymn, it's been one of my favorites all my life, is, "Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am His, and He is mine." When we enter into the kingdom of Christ, we enter a place of beauty, joy, peace, quietness, such as we've never known before. The third stanza of that same hymn, "Things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on the loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here, doubt and care and self resign. While He whispers in my ear, I am His and He is mine." Things that once were wild alarms. When we resign ourselves, entrust ourselves completely and unreservedly into God's hands, what a difference it makes. Self-resignation. Old words, aren't they? Archaic. We hardly ever use them now. They're very seldom understood nowadays, but they are essential if we are to advance in spiritual life. The recognition that God is in charge of everything. Indifference to worldly concerns or opinions. Not easy for us, is it? We fill our brains with fashions and videos and sports and cars and diversions and food and others' judgments and opinions, and we get so bogged down and so nervous and so stressed out, as everybody says. But the Lord wants us to recognize our weakness and our vulnerability in order that we may lay hold upon His strength. Now I have a wonderful illustration of power through weakness that happens to be very close to my heart because it has to do with the events that took place in my oldest grandson's life just this past winter. His name is Walter, and he went to Peru to spend 6 months with his great uncle, Bert Elliott. Bert Elliott is Jim Elliott's older brother, has been in Peru for 45 years as a missionary, and he continues there. And Walter went down to spend 6 months under his tutelage, helping with construction, learning Spanish, and teaching English as a second language. And at the end, toward the end of his visit, he decided to go down to Bolivia, where he has a cousin named Steve Hawthorne, who is a doctor, a missionary doctor. On his way back from Bolivia, he was robbed twice. Talk about a discipline. Most of us would deplore ever being robbed, and I suppose many of you have been robbed in one way or another. We've had our house robbed twice, and I had my wallet stolen from me one time. But these two robberies took place on two successive days. In both cases, it was two men who jumped him, slammed him up against a wall, and in the second case, actually put a knife to his throat. And the experience was a terrible one. But his response to that experience we found most heartening. He sent a fax to his father, starting out with, "This is a hard fax to do, as it lets you in on the lousiness of the state of my material goods. Flat out been robbed, blind, done got accosted by two pairs of wretches, two times." Now he's just using his father's sort of Mississippi kind of language. His dad grew up in Louisiana, and they had a pastorate in Mississippi, too. So he's just using that kind of language sort of with tongue in cheek. Incident number one went down the night of Friday last, a few items snatched, the notable one being my passport. The afternoon of the next day, the greater part of my personal effects was liberated from the rightful owner. Not a few irreplaceable stuffs gone. Man, solid, gone. It's best to ask, what did I not lose? Notably, plane ticket out of town, where I was stiffed completely, my camera, shoes, and jacket on my back. My quid, that is his money. Absolutely not one penny centavo of cash lost. So those were the things he was able to keep, and his Spanish Bible. These, you will agree with me, are good not to lose. And I am most grateful to our Father for what he allowed me to keep, perhaps most notably of all, life on this earth. This appears to have been in danger at one point. But this was his response to the whole thing. I have the same support and fortitude as lots of men abiding in much awfuler wildernesses. This was Job's support. He was not overcome with rage and despair when he received news that the Sabians had carried off his cattle, slain his servants, and that the remainder of both were consumed with fire, that the Chaldeans had robbed him of his camels, and that his seven sons were crushed to death by the falling of the house they were sitting in. He resolved all these misfortunes and horrors into the agency of God, his power and sovereignty, and even thanked him for doing what he would with his own. You remember that Job said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Walter goes on to say, "If another should slander me in word, injure me in deed, I shall not be prone to anger, when, with David, I consider that the Lord hath bidden him." He's referring there to an Old Testament story where a man was cursing David, and one of David's friends wanted to deal with this man, and David said, "Leave him alone. The Lord has told him to curse me." Lima is sure a dreary town when you've been in such stunning surroundings as mountains of Peru and Bolivia. Everything gray and flat here, dirty, rugged. This is all part of growing up, and more vital, and learning to pray without hesitation or reserve, that God's will may be done in us, on us, by us, that in all his dealing with us, he may consult his own glory alone. I am very, very humbled by all this, and I hope a good blow has been struck at my pride. Of course, it's only by our Lord's grace and mercy, holding me up from falling into the most low-down, filthy, thievingest, throwaway, dirt-ragged, stealer ways of a worthless jerk who takes what ain't his by rotten means. Physically, I'm turning out fine as can be, and there doesn't seem to be no mental anguish, nor other uncalled-for personal problems, although having no underwear is troublesome. Had a bruise on my leg, but it's starting to go away. Other bruises and soreness almost gone. I'm sleeping in a house owned by some very generous, kind, and reputable missionaries. Am eating well after several weeks of lean times. Have had some mean dreams at night, but so tired I forget and it goes away. Earthly possessions, no matter what, are foolish to lose any time, energy, or religion over. There is a purpose. This is real, and God has a very sure plan for it all, and each of my truly insignificant, this I forget quick, possessions, and they weren't mine truly, but given to me to use but a little while. Now it's all given to someone else. Now there's an interesting testimony from a young man who saw past the loss of many things, including, and I think perhaps this was the most difficult thing, the 6 months journal that he had kept throughout his time in South America. Irreplaceable, of course. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paradoxes, aren't they? Scriptural paradoxes, and the Bible is full of them. The kind of power that I need is completed only in my acceptance of my helplessness. The kind of power I need is completed only in my acceptance of my helplessness. The discipline of self-despair. You know that old hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Not on my strength, I have none. Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness."
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.